Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're taking the temperature of global trade. International politics is becoming increasingly polarised, and one always hot topic of debate is global trade. We'll ask, does cross-border commerce do more harm to the equal distribution of income and wealth than it helps to boost economic growth? We'll look at the status of some well-known free trade agreements like NAFTA and the TTIP and consider whether these arrangements are under threat, and if so, why? And we'll explore how trade has become such a hotly debated issue in the race for the White House and mull what the respective candidates' views on the issue might mean for the future of regional and global trade. We start with Pim Fox, the anchor of Taking Stock on Bloomberg Radio and Bloomberg Television. Amidst an increasingly polarised global politics, some say that cross-border commerce does more harm to the distribution of income than it does good in terms of boosting economic growth. Where does Pim Fox stand on this?
You know, when you talk about trade, that can definitely lead to a conversation about things like tariffs and rules and regulations, right? I mean, over the course of history, tariffs, import duties, whatever you want to call them, have been a key instrument for governments in order to raise money, but also in order for them to favor domestic industry. So, you know, you go all the way back to about the 16th century, and Britain putting up barriers to textile imports from the Low Countries. Fast forward to the United States, and let's say trying to help nation industries such as the steel business or the automobile business. And you can sort of find these examples all around the world. And free trade, as they say, there's nothing really free about it. The idea is, how do you manage the trade so that it is effective to try to meet the goals of the people who are in charge?
What's the view of Jorge Mariscal, UBS Chief Investment Officer for the Emerging Markets?
I think it's a false dichotomy. I think the aligning countries as a function of their comparative advantages, it's a win-win situation for everyone, and that's what free trade does for countries. So Mexico, for example, it's a big producer of fruits and vegetables. The U.S. is a big producer of grains and meats. Two-way trade with exports from Mexico of vegetables and fruits to the U.S. in exchange for grains and meat makes a lot of sense, and it ends up employing more people in both countries and generating more growth.
Ed Ludlow works on the EMEA news desk at Bloomberg TV. Does cross-border commerce do more harm to the equal distribution of income and wealth than it helps boost economic growth, in Ed's view?
At the basic level, trade exposes businesses in different countries to more international competition, effectively competing a greater number of businesses in a greater number of countries. And in short, that allows simply the transfer of good ideas, right, from one place to another, and people learn from each other, and that in turn can lift productivity. And an effect of that is that wages can be higher overall. And from the other perspective, from the consumer perspective, consumers gain access to a broader range of products and goods. But it's in wealthier countries where you see the most benefit, because cheaper imports, which come as a result of free trade, have driven down the cost of basic items like food and clothing. But, you know, there are people that say that globalization, which increases competition, also increases competitive pressure on wages. And that's particularly among, you know, low-skilled jobs. And so what they would argue is that global trade threatens to aggravate inequality, because it's kind of like a race to the bottom. It can degrade labor and health standards because it's such a competitive environment. And there's also some suggestion that it weakens democracy, because when a free trade agreement is put together between different nations, it is, of course, open to lobbying and influence from third parties, and is often done behind closed doors. But I mean, if overall, if you look at the data, look at, so here at Bloomberg, we compile data, of course, and looking at the last couple of decades, on balance, it's likely that everyone is better off because of the expansion of global trade.
We put the same question to Dirk Effenberger, who heads the cross-regional investment office at the UBS CIO Wealth Management in Zurich.
I think it's very difficult to say, because there's a lack of empirical evidence for probably both. I personally think that free trade actually supports global growth, so it's positive for the global economy. At the same time, we have seen some, at least anecdotal evidence, that it increases inequality at the same time. And admittedly, if you look, for example, in the U.S., where currently is a hot debate about globalization in general, we have seen that almost three-quarters of the jobs created since the 2008 crisis have gone to workers with bachelor degree or higher, and that only roughly 40% of manufacturing jobs lost since 2008 have been regained. So there's some anecdotal evidence of rising inequality.
And a word from another of Monocle 24's regular contributors, Ewan Potts.
Well, for decades, there's been a political consensus that the positive effects of trade, boosting GDP growth through lower tariffs and more trade, is a good thing. And that the losers from trade, people in North American car plants or Italian clothes factories, well, their suffering is just a price worth paying. But in recent times, that consensus has started to break down. And after years of freeing trade, between 2009 and 2015, three times as many discriminatory trade measures were introduced as liberalizing ones. And now politicians around the world are increasingly challenging the notion that more trade is good for the world.
Given some of the increasingly restrictive trends and tendencies we've been hearing about, are free trade agreements like NAFTA and the TTIP under threat? We asked Jorge Mariscal, is it an existential threat even?
Unfortunately, there is a very worrying undercurrent in world politics today that is a threat to these arrangements. I think it stems from the fact that globalization itself has created income distribution issues, and that easy scapegoat of this would be to point to free trade and free trade agreements as the culprit. I think it's a real threat, and I think it's a dangerous threat for the global economy and for regional economies as well. So I think we have to be on guard, those of us who believe in free trade, have to be on guard against these threats.
Does Pim Fox agree that we're in an environment where these sort of global free trade agreements are, at the very least, under pressure?
Yes, they are, because you have political parties and populist candidates who are willing to sacrifice a kind of thorough and sober examination of the issue. They're willing to sacrifice that for votes. And I think that you could see cutbacks in a trade agreement. And then also, you just have the plain issue that it is much more difficult to get people to agree on anything. Everybody's got their own parochial interests. Everybody thinks they're right. And all politics is local. You've got these global agreements so that when you go into the Waitrose and you see where the food comes from, if you have farmers, domestic farmers, that don't like, you know, that competition, then that's an opportunity for a politician to appeal to their fears. If you don't like going into the Walmart in the U.S. and turning over everything and saying, oh, wow, that's made in China. Well, I mean, you know, that starts to create this cascade of xenophobia. Anything foreign is bad. Anything domestic is good. And I would just encourage people to look around their homes and see whether they really want everything that they own to be made in the country in which they live, because chances are, if that's what you really want, you're going to have to make a lot more money, or you're going to have to throw away all your television sets.
So the prevailing view seems to be that, yes, global free trade agreements are under pressure, but is that the case according to Dirk Effenberger?
Well, I think that's clearly the case, and it's true not only for the US, but globally. If you look in Europe, most of the anti-establishment parties and candidates are actually in favor of stopping globalization trends and are in favor of protecting domestic industries. So I think that's right. In general, I think we have to recognize that global trade in goods and services has been stagnating since 2008 and has not increased further. So that's a matter of fact, and I see some of the global trade agreements are clearly under pressure due to rising populism around the globe.
What does Ewan Potts make of the prospects for the likes of NAFTA and the TTIP?
Well, NAFTA, negotiated by George Bush Sr., signed into law by Mr. Bill Clinton in 1994. For many years, it really wasn't that controversial. It wasn't on the mainstream political agenda. But now two men, one from the left and one from the right, have put it firmly on the agenda. Bernie Sanders and especially Donald Trump, coming from the right of politics, have started to question whether NAFTA is in American interests. And of course, without America, you know, a free trade deal between Canada and Mexico wouldn't be much. So interesting that something that really wasn't controversial is now suddenly being thrown onto the agenda. And the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, TTIP, is the most ambitious trade agreement ever attempted. If it succeeds, it will be really, really big. But Brexit has slightly thrown a spanner in the works with TTIP, some saying that Brexit might kill the negotiations, the withdrawal of the pro-free trade UK, reducing political will to complete a deal. Or perhaps the EU will double down and prove that it's still relevant and negotiate that deal. But TTIP, controversial, particularly with campaigners on the left.
According to Ed Ludlow, it's the very idea of free trade that is definitively under attack.
There's a feeling that essentially free trade agreements can undermine how the government's individual countries can successfully achieve their own policy goals. And I'm talking about things like fighting climate change or even protecting consumers. And that's because in pursuit of those goals, governments may find themselves in a conflict because they'll have regulations which are stipulated by the free trade agreement that might be in conflict with whatever measure they want to carry out. And there's also a political dimension to this, and I think the greatest evidence that we've had of that recently is, of course, Britain's vote to leave the European Union. And it's suggestive that perhaps in future there could be political opposition, not necessarily to free trade agreements like the specific ones you mentioned, but the idea of free trade. We had the CEO of Barclays speaking recently, and he summed it up very nicely. And he sees Brexit, and I quote, as the first major move by a developed nation to pull back from free trade. And then, of course, there's the upcoming US election where free trade is sort of front and center.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look in more detail at exactly that point raised there by Ed Ludlow, namely the role that trade has played and is still playing stateside in the race for the White House. So, how big a deal is trade in the race for the White House? We've seen plenty of incendiary rhetoric, and perhaps in a different way to previous elections, the issue has been very much front and center. Interestingly, it's not been exclusive to Donald Trump and the Republicans. Hillary Clinton and the Democrats have been at it as well. Jorge Mariscal takes up the story.
I think it reflects a global undercurrent to blame one's problems on the foreigner, on the external factors that we understand least. I think it's an easy solution. Let me give you an example. Free trade is partly responsible for why things are cheap in the U.S., cheaper than they otherwise would be. And yes, you know, some of this free trade means that jobs get displaced from one and companies move to places where cheaper labor is prevalent. But on the other side, cheaper goods come back. So one of the reasons why Walmart can't sell commodities at the prices they can sell it, because of free trade. These benefits would go away. Things would become more expensive for the U.S. consumer if you start imposing these trades. So to look at the job impact without looking at the consumption benefits is incomplete. And this is often the fallacy of how people argue against trade. They only look at one side of the equation.
Both Bernie Sanders, maybe predictably, from the left, and Trump from the right have been advancing the issue. Has Ewan Potts been surprised by that?
I think it's really interesting. I don't think there's a consensus in the Republican Party before Trump came along that trade was a bad thing. I think most think that trade was good for America. But Trump, in his own way, you know, using very, very strong words against some of the trade deals negotiated in the US, he says he wants a total renegotiation of the NAFTA agreement. And he says if he can't get his own way, he'll withdraw. So I think he's really taken the political landscape by storm. And of course, Hillary Clinton has been pushed by Bernie Sanders from the left, but interestingly, she's now being pushed from the right by Trump. So she's sort of caught in a pincer movement, if you like, and she's had to make concessions on trade, when otherwise, I think her record suggests that she's generally in favour of more free trade, but she's having to accommodate those pressures from both sides now.
In terms of the race for the White House, trade is unhelpfully bundled with other foreign policy issues in the US, explains Dirk Effenberger.
I think people don't have a clear understanding of what free trade means and often see it as a combination of immigration issues and some other foreign policy issues. There's no clear separation between all these non-domestic oriented policies.
Before the end of the programme, let's gather some last thoughts from our panel. We've discussed the pressure that the very idea of free trade has been under, but it's important to remember that it's not just trade under siege. Other things too, be it immigration, capital movements and more, are being scrutinised like seldom before, says Jorge Mariscal.
The world is unfortunately undergoing a protectionist wave, which I think is a result of, you know, relatively low rates of economic recovery, and importantly, issues of income and wealth distribution that globalization has created. I think it's important not to misjudge the illness so that the right prescription of treatment can be implemented. And I think putting restrictions on free trade is the wrong conclusion out of this.
And are there any other key trends or markers to follow? Dirk Effenberger explains that there are some really interesting trends if you look at the statistics.
I think if you look at statistics, this is interesting, huh? Because we have seen that globalization trends increased since the 70s up until the 2008 crisis. And since then, we really have seen that global trade as a percentage of global GDP has been stagnating and has been even falling since 2008. So we might be in the middle of a paradigm shift where globalization trends goes into reverse. So that's an important point in time, I think.
And that's Dirk Effenberger bringing us to the end of this 102nd edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes or your preferred platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.